It feels like it's been a really long time since we recorded.
Yeah, it does feel like months. It's been a month.
But
yeah.
We did all those episodes. We did the two-parter and then we did one right after. So we did like three in a row.
Well, we were doing, I think the Garage Rock we recorded like twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And like within we 2 weeks, whereas weeks usually. After. Yeah.
But yeah, this is supposed to be a monthly show, so this is our first.
Well, yeah, we're still technically making the cut.
Yeah.
This is Subgenrification. I'm Annie.
I'm Char. Welcome to the show. Today we are talking about City Pop.
And we're joined by Charlie's cast.
Yeah, I broke my foot running. Oh, yeah, Subgenrification is a show, about subgenres of music.
Just glossing over the foot.
I broke my foot running in the forest like a fucking nerd.
Like a nerd.
Not even doing a cool kickflip or something like that.
He wasn't even running away from anything except his problem.
Yeah. Just trying to get out of my head, you know, man. Just got to go for a freaking run.
Yeah, that's what you get.
I was running in the North Van Forest like a yuppie. And this is what
truly
happened.
Yuffy behavior. North Van.
So City Pop. City Pop is a weird genre. I wouldn't even call it a genre, but, you know, for the purposes of the show, we'll call it a genre.
Yeah, it really isn't a genre so much as an aesthetic and sort of a cultural movement that happened in Japan. And I think, like, for context, I want to touch on the fact. So, City Pop emerged in the early 70s was when it really kind of started. Mm-hmm. And this is like, for context, Japan was experiencing this enormous economic boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like, that can be traced back to, you know, the American occupation of Japan after the war and the enormous influx of American business and cash that Japan's economy got immediately following the war, and Japan became very westernized.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, and all of the music at the time was in English, had English lyrics.
Pre-City Pop,
pre-City Pop.
Yeah.
And City Pop is really one of the first, I think, genres of Japanese music that came after the war that really like sort of regained a bit of Japanese culture to a degree. Mm-hmm. And it's still heavily westernized. Like the choruses are in English, but this is really one of the first times that you can see Japanese artists beginning to like sing in Japanese and do really, really well on the charts.
Yeah. What I wrote here is like, it's music for Japanese capitalism, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's like, spot on.
And it's a quote here that says it was music made by city people for city people.
Yeah.
But like you said, it was right after the war, this huge tech economic bubble, and it went hand in hand with like Japan inventing like the Walkman with like
the
Sony
Walkman for sure
and cassette decks and cars and FM radio.
Cameras, sound systems, TVs.
And the audience who listened to it were more, they're older, they weren't teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like it was like for like wealthy business people.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
It's a really odd genre.
Yeah, fully embraces Japanese consumer culture. It's like the opposite of punk music, maybe.
Yeah, in a way. I'd say so. At least like when punk music started. Although I think it's interesting that like when you look at City Pop's lyricism, it's often very optimistic and idyllic.
That's a bit vapid almost, though, in a way.
A bit naive, I think, is a better way to put it.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, pop music has always been vapid, too, in a sense. Like,
yeah,
there are great pop lyricists like Prince and stuff, but often, like, pop music is a genre. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it like came in the early 70s, mm-hmm. But it really, really came to prominition in like the 80s, mm-hmm. early 80s is when it really was going hard, and it it didn't last very long, did mm-hmm. it? Kind of died in. Well, we'll get to that later, but I just want to mention like. The kind of sound of City Pop. It was like an amalgamation of pop, mm-hmm. disco, funk, R&B, boogie, jazz fusion, Latin, Caribbean, and Polynesian music.
It really does not have like a defined sound, I think, as a genre.
Yeah. It really, like, so yeah, in the 80s, it was like big time, and then it mm-hmm. kind of fell off in the 87. Yeah. But before City Pop, I don't know if you came upon this in your research, but like prior to City Pop, there was like this other scene right before it, mm-hmm. this folk rock hybrid that kind of drew from the Laurel Canyon scene, like of Neil Young and
yes.
All those people. And it was called New Music, which featured artists singing Japanese as well. Which, in contrast, like you said before, music was always sung in English in Japan. One of the main bands that kind of were in that scene, that kind of transitioned to City Pop and kind of were the main artists to, like, almost invent City Pop, were this band called Happy End.
Happy Ends.
Happy Ends, maybe. And one of them was Harumi Hosono, which is, like, the G.
Yeah. Hosono House. Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
We could have a whole episode on him if we wanted to.
Hosono's so sick.
Mm-hmm. True legend.
But he was, like, one of the biggest influences on City Pop, arguably.
Yes, and I mean, he stayed one after Happy End broke up in, what year was it, 73? Mm-hmm. Persona went on to found Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Right, yeah, which were fucking insane. They're like techno.
They're so good, dude. Fucking. Oh, my God.
Hiromu Sano is just insane. He's like Death Grips in Japan.
Death Grips for Japanese capitalists.
Yeah.
Not even. He wasn't really like part of that.
No, he like yeah, like you were mentioning like how it was kind of, or I said it was vapid, but it was more like just not very deep emotionally. But Hiromu Sano, he had the song called Sportsman. You've heard the song?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about feeling like inferior to physically fit people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I think, so yeah, although the scene of city pop came out of leisure and wealth and shit and individualization,
mm-hmm.
artists now had to grapple with a new like hyper urban individualization that left people feeling very isolated. And I think Sportsman is like kind of a song that kind of like is very like happy in nature, but it's like very like
it's such a funny song. Important to also like just sort of look at it in the context of you know Japan's culture historically and then like how that changed so rapidly with this economic boom, and like there was no transitionary period really.
No,
it was like sudden westernization right after the war, right?
Yeah,
in a really jarring way. And I think and I'm you know, I'm not an expert. I must take whatever I say with a grain of salt. But it seems to me like Japan really didn't have time to form its own relationship with the world that it had been thrust into so quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got that really hyper-capitalist veneer.
I just want to talk about the sound and kind of aesthetic of city pop.
Yeah.
I feel like aesthetic is like really the only...
Yeah, you can't...
defining thing of city pop is just the aesthetic, especially nowadays.
I will say, like, of the sounds that it borrows from, I think funk and disco are probably the...
key, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest, like, the more grounding elements.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of, like, jazz scales and tones.
Totally, not, yeah.
Not so much, like, there's no actual jazz fusion, like, per se. There's no jazz instrumentals.
No.
No, but no.
It's very jazzy, yeah. It's like, not to get too technical, but like, they got really technical with their music.
Yeah.
It's like very, like, highly produced.
Yes.
Highly, highly produced. Like, a lot of seventh chords and diminished chords and, like, these transition chords. Like, kind of like, it's very Steely Dan, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, that's a good comparison, actually. It's also the recording quality on most city pop is fucking incredible.
It's hi-fi as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's hi-fi shit.
It just sounds amazing.
Which is funny because it was all being listened to on cassettes, which is the least hi-fi way of listening to music.
Yeah, they made like music that sounds amazing to this day for Walkman.
Yeah, for like the shittiest sounding. It was music not to listen at home, almost intentionally. Mm-hmm. It was like to put in on like your road trip to your summer house with your family.
Totally, yeah.
And it's also funny because like it is called City Pop, but like the lyrics rarely, what I've researched anyways, because mm-hmm. I don't speak Japanese, is the lyrics are all about like going to your like summer vacation and just like playing in the pool.
It's like time to get away from the city.
Yeah, I know, but it's all made in the city.
In the city for the city people.
It's bizarre.
It's very antithetical to the name of the genre.
Yes. So another thing about the aesthetic, here's a quote from this guy I found, like this, he did this paper, his name is Marit Summit, with one of those random things I found on Google, but he writes, as in almost all city pop art of the time, these urban settings, I just want to say, in terms of art, this one artist, Nagai Hiroshi, is like the main city pop visual artist. He did all like the album covers. He like the aesthetic, like, because there was this, like, recently there was like these compilation records that came out called Pacific Breeze.
Just
Pacific Breeze. And they were just like city pop compilations.
Like in the past couple of years, kind of thing.
Yeah, like in the past few years. That's kind of small, but that's like his art. See that?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Actually, we should make this.
We'll make it the.
The cover.
The cover of the episode. But it's like. Try and describe a visual image. It's like.
Oh, sorry. You go.
I was going to. It's kind of like animated almost. It's like. Very like blues and pink and like. What is tones called? Like
pastel
tones. Yeah.
It's interesting how many similarities you can draw between city pop and chill wave.
Totally.
Like aesthetically and, in terms of like that really nostalgic sound that I think city pop evokes a lot of the same emotions as chill wave.
It's almost like a weird longing, especially.
Yes.
Well, the weird thing about the art, too, is, like, it's, like, these beautiful paintings of, like, a summer house with, like, a pool, but there's no one, there's no humans in the actual picture. It's very, like, empty, and, like, so that, I don't know, it kind of gives you this weird, like, like, city pop always kind of made me feel, like, kind of, like, empty and, like, it's almost kind of scary and eerie, you know what I mean? Just like...
I see what you mean.
Just
I do want to mention really quick, this is a bit off topic, but there's a song, Plastic Love by Takeuchi Maria.
The hugest song, yeah.
The hugest city pop song ever. And there's a great video by a guy on YouTube named Justin Wang. Don't laugh at that.
I wasn't laughing at the name, sorry.
But yeah, well, he has a great video about this specific cover photo that was used for that single, for Plastic Love.
Is it the one I've heard, The Laundromat? Or am I thinking a different song?
No, it's this picture.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just about a bunch of people on the internet trying to figure out who took the photo. And I think that that video does a very good job of encapsulating how brief city pop was and how not a lot of it was very well documented as a genre or a movement, because it wasn't one, so to speak. It was just this collection of sounds that a lot of people started making, and then it fizzled out before it really got its own serious identity.
Yeah, and when it did fizzle out, it was, like I said earlier, it was 1987, and it kind of coincided with the end of the economic boom in Japan. It was like...
When the economy fucking crashed.
It crashed big time.
Yeah.
So obviously music, this hyper-capitalist music kind of like, was like, we're not that, it's not really the vibe anymore.
Yeah, it's like most of us watching the Kardashians now.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
Take it somewhere else. Thanks to all our Patreon supporters.
I got a lot of emails about these new Patreon people, and I feel like they're all somewhat related to
you. Yeah, you could say that. That's true. Big thanks to the family for donating a dollar a month.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Is it? Oh yeah, we'll get the whole town of Fernie to be the main Patreon.
Yeah, we can patrons. Do that. We can do that for sure.
Our whole listener base will be just the town of Fernie. So, yeah, we kind of covered when it died. Is there anything else you want to talk about its height? I was going to get into, like, kind of how it died and, like, the resurgence.
The resurgence of city pop.
The resurgence, yeah.
Yeah, it did. It certainly did get a resurgence in the late 2000s, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have this note here. So, like, in 2002, the first of a series of disc guides were published and rediscovered the 1970s and 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
This was in Japan as mm-hmm. a kind of retro chic. And DJs and artists involved in the Shibuya Kai scene, essentially meaning Tokyo-style music,
mm-hmm.
Began sampling these old records.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of its initial resurgence. And then, of course, Vaporwave came along in 2010.
Yeah, well, then you had that... Like, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious how you can see where Vaporwave and Chillwave took their inspiration from as far as mm-hmm. city pop. There's definitely a lot of city pop influence, I think, in both those genres.
Well, there's, like, this micro-genre of Vaporwave called Future Funk that was mm-hmm. essentially just sampling... I would argue even some of the songs of Future Funk were just city pop songs, like, on loop. I don't know. Like, it was just, like, it was... their whole thing was just sampling Future Funk or City Pop records and then calling Future Funk. And there's a funny note I have here because City Pop was like very influenced by the West, right? In a way, like mm-hmm. the music of the West. Vaporwave artists, they have a tendency to incorporate anime and Japanese text into their visuals as mm-hmm. part of the aesthetic. Which creates this weird hall of mirrors because Vaporwave artists in America are reflecting Japanese music that was reflecting American music. So there's like this big like...
Shit, that's so true actually. I hadn't even considered that.
It's like, yeah, it's like the aesthetic copying this aesthetic that's like ultimately it's America copying America,
mm-hmm.
but it's like going through this filter of Japan.
Yeah, and I think it's... Like, if there's anything ever that could tell you that music is just reincorporation, it's that.
Totally, yeah. Well, Vaporwave is a prime example of just, like...
It is the reincorporation.
It's just reincorporation, yeah.
Like, you could get away with slowing a song down to 0.75 speed.
Yeah.
And adding a couple of synths over it and call it your own song.
Yeah, if that... Listen to me. Listen, listen, listen to me.